Israeli troops move in to arrest a man they suspect is a senior Hamas militant responsible for planning suicide bombings in Israel. The army said Ibrahim Hamed had been on their most wanted list for 8 years. Conflict between Israel and the Palestinians has been overshadowed recently by internal unrest, which has raised fears of a possible civil war, a notion dismissed by the Palestinian Prime Minister.
There is no place for civil war in the dictionary of the Palestinian people, and I can assure all of them that we can overcome these incidents.
Fighting broke out on Monday between members of a new 3,000-strong security force set up by Hamas and a rival security force still loyal to President Abbas and his Fatah faction. Caught in the crossfire was a Jordanian diplomat who began his final journey home with full military honours. Tension was high before the gun battle that killed him, and open warfare on the streets of Gaza won't help bring about calm. Stuart McDill, Reuters.
Another family mourns the loss of a loved one in Baghdad, but this time the victim is a mere child. 12-year-old Hani Sadoun was abducted by gunmen as he headed to his father's parking lot business. His cousin claims he was the victim of a Sunni death squad.
I said that I would come and get him at 12 o'clock, but when I arrived I couldn't find him. Later we found his bound and tortured body. Both his arms were broken. He was just 12 years old and he was only a child.
Hani had been shot in the head and chest. He'd been blindfolded, bound and tortured with electric drills and steel cables. He could have been the victim of a criminal gang, but his death bears all the hallmarks of sectarian tit-for-tat killings. They've increased dramatically in recent weeks, and more of the victims are children. Sonia Legg, Reuters. They'd been expecting monsoon rains, but hadn't expected them to be quite so heavy. Hundreds of residents were forced to flee their homes as several metres of water swept through towns and villages. Rescue teams with boats were deployed to try and reach hundreds of people trapped in or on buildings. A third of a metre of rain fell in just 24 hours.
The flooding is really bad. Many people can't get out of their houses.
Four provinces were affected and at least 10 people have been killed. Six were buried in their homes by a mudslide. Dozens of others are missing. Train services between Bangkok and the north were also cancelled after four trains carrying 1,000 passengers became stranded.
If we had more warning, we might have been able to escape in time. We could at least prepare ourselves better.
Deforestation is being blamed for the severity of the flooding. The rain looks set to continue until the weekend. Sonia Legg, Reuters. Earlier this month, the news cameraman filmed a mock dogfight between Greek and Turkish jets flying over the Aegean Sea. Now it seems a similar incident may have had far more serious consequences. Two F-16 jets, one Greek and one Turkish, have collided in midair while shadowing each other. Turkey claims the Greek jet interfered with a Turkish training exercise.
We're waiting for exact information. At the moment, our chief of general staff is talking to his Greek counterpart.
A Greek frigate has been sent to the area off the island of Karpathos. Greek officials say the Turkish pilot was rescued by a foreign commercial ship and picked up by a Turkish military helicopter. The fate of the Greek pilot isn't known. The two countries, which came close to war as recently as 1996 over a deserted Aegean outcrop, have recently been trying to improve relations. But they both still dispute the size of Greek territory around the coast. This is unlikely to help them overcome their differences. Sonia Legg, Reuters.
Colombian police investigate the death of 10 of their colleagues, shot by an army patrol who mistook them for drug dealers.
You could hear bombs too, and it was intense for half an hour.
So-called friendly fire incident is the worst in the country's long history of combat operations against rebels, militias, and the cocaine trade. The deadly confusion came just days before elections, dealt a blow to President Álvaro Uribe.
I told the defense minister to instruct the investigating commission to proceed quickly. The country must be told very quickly the truth about what happened, the total truth.
This is the eighth so-called friendly fire incident in recent years, a statistic Uribe's critics blame on the government's demands for greater results from its security forces. Stuart McDill, Reuters.
This is 14-year-old Nurjan. The Pakistani teenager had been shot four times by relatives who left her for dead in a ditch outside Karachi. They accused her of having sex with a young man. This, says human rights lawyer Zahir Awan, was to be a so-called honour killing.
I think a victim of bad traditions and also the victim of tribalism and feudalism.
But Nurjan managed to crawl out of the ditch and raise help. She survived for 4 weeks in hospital, an armed guard providing protection, but finally died from a stomach infection caused by a bullet.
But I feel that we should have some course of action. That no more deaths of this kind. There are thousands of people who are being killed or tortured or they're facing violence. They're still facing violence at home.
Nurjan's name is now added to that list. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
Some of Myanmar's ethnic Karen people constructing a new school in the relative safety of the jungle. They say they were driven from their homes by soldiers of the State Peace and Development Council, or SPDC, as Yangon's ruling junta is known.
One of my cousins was arrested by the SPDC and killed a few days later. We were all afraid this would happen to us, so we left our villages.
The Christian Karen people make up around 10% of the population in Myanmar, which was formerly known as Burma. They've been fighting a guerrilla independence war for the last 50 years, one of the world's longest-running conflicts, and now say they're the victims of ethnic cleansing.
The only long-term solution to Burma's problem is real political reform that leads to responsible governance.
More than 100,000 Karen are thought to have crossed the border into Thailand seeking refuge. But many, like the residents of this new camp, have not. And experts believe they could number as many as 500,000 people, displaced by the ruling junta or its policies. Stuart McDill, Reuters.
Daring escape from a terrifying fire. With flames burning around them, a mother and her 11-year-old son dropped themselves to safety from a second-floor balcony. The woman made a rope for her son using the net, which stopped their cat jumping out of the flat. She then leapt the full distance to the ground, bringing the pet with her. All three survived, with minor injuries and smoke inhalation.
The fire started in the second-floor room. During the rescue operation, the entire apartment caught fire and the two people just jumped from the balcony.
The fire brigade was delayed trying to reach the blaze. They claim the property management firm had recently changed the locks to the entrance gates and failed to supply them with new keys. Firefighters had to pick the locks in order to gain access. An investigation into the cause of the fire has been launched. Sonia Legg, Reuters.
took 2 years to build and served as the model for the movie The China Syndrome. But now the defunct cooling tower at Oregon's only commercial nuclear power plant is gone forever. Demolition crews imploded the old Trojan nuclear power plant in Rainier, Oregon, on the west coast of the U.S. over the weekend. It took less than 10 seconds and 2,800 pounds of explosives to bring the tower down. The tower, which was the largest in the United States to be destroyed, was closed in 1993 for financial and safety reasons. John Decker, Reuters.
An ambassador for the game 40 years after he helped England win the World Cup. Bobby Charlton told Reuters Television history could repeat itself, but Brazil are favourites.
Every World Cup they seem to be the favourites because they have such a passion for football. Their country is big, they produce so many really good players.
Manchester United star Wayne Rooney is seen as key to England's hopes, but an injured foot may not heal in time, so would he play anyway?
There is no way that Wayne Rooney will go onto the field if he's not fully fit. Manchester United would certainly ask questions if that was the case.
Charlton says the decision by coach Sven-Göran Eriksson to include 17-year-old Theo Walcott in the England squad is bizarre. The teenager's never even played in the first team for his club Arsenal.
I am only worried that it will damage the boy himself, you know, I hope that he's not humiliated at all.
But then, arguably the greatest player ever, Pelé, was also just 17 when he helped Brazil win the World Cup in 1958. Andy Stenton, Reuters.
As Italy's national team begin training for the World Cup, a coach has been given the full backing of the Italian Football Federation. Marcello Lippi has become embroiled in a corruption scandal surrounding his former club, Juventus. Italy's Football Federation commissioner says he has complete faith in their man.
I have expressly declared our complete faith in this team and in Marcello Lippi.
Lippi denied last week the former Juventus general manager, who's at the centre of match-fixing allegations, forced him to select certain players for the national side. Lippi's son David is also an agent at the GEA Players and Coaches Management Agency, being probed by authorities.
I have been heard by magistrates just as a witness, first of all. Do I have to clarify the relationship between me and my son?
There have been calls for Lippi to resign before the World Cup starts next month to improve the image of Italian football. It seems Lippi and the Italian Football Federation will not oblige. Stuart McDill, Reuters.
It's a great achievement for anyone to reach the summit of the world's highest mountain, but when you don't have legs, it's extraordinary. New Zealander Mark Ingalls is the first double amputee to reach the top of Mount Everest.
I never climbed in the Himalayas when I had legs. Always need to, never had time.
The 47-year-old lost both legs to frostbite in 1982 during a climb up New Zealand's highest peak, Mount Cook. He suffered again, frostbite to his fingers and leg stumps, but says it was worth it.
Great relief, a lot of pain, and the need to go home, relax, and then go come back out and do something with the achievement. Do something for the good of a lot of people, a lot of amputees.
Ingalls praised the team who went with him up Everest. He couldn't have made it without them. Andy Stenton, Reuters.